Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. Both this show and the Local Food Connect newsletter bring you voices from community gardens, farmers markets, food co-ops and grassroots organisations that are tackling food insecurity, sustainability and food sovereignty head on. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. Went to the Zero Waste Festival at Federation Square on the 6th of September and caught up with really passionate stallholders who are all leading the charge to cut down on waste in all sorts of different ways with different creative solutions. Some people doing grassroots activism, some doing big picture thinking, and some people rescuing surplus food and getting it to people who need it, people who are reducing packaging waste, people committed to repurposing things, whether it's garden scraps into compost or making new tools out of old plastic. All sorts of different hands-on workshops were there, and a repair cafe, a mending circle, a clothes swap, and a really great panel of, or various panels discussing everything around the drive to reduce waste. So today on the show, and I'm just going to bring you some little snippets of the range of people and ideas that were at the Zero Waste Festival, and congratulations to Jess and Kirsty, who are frequent guests on this show, for their efforts in running such a fantastic event. And the first person I spoke to was 3CR's very own Marianne Cincotta, who is part of a campaign to stop the building of a waste incinerator in a residential area in Wollert. So that's what she's talking about. And then we'll hear from Rodney, who's living in the street where the proposed incinerator is going to be. And then we'll hear some more people from the Zero Waste Festival.
So I'm involved with No Waste Incinerator Wollert because this proposal was made by a company called Clean Away when Whittlesea Council was in administration.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Interesting.
Yes.
So they've bought some land, and if you look on Google Maps, you'll see now that it's a greenwashed thing called Melbourne Energy Resource Recovery something.
Uh-huh.
So it's been greenwashed, but really it's just a for-profit company that is going to be taking as much waste as they can get, and already on their scope is taking in building waste. So they see that as that's their business model, which is to burn the rubbish, which is actually worse for the climate than landfill. And it does nothing about controlling our plastic pollution problem.
No. And how on earth are they greenwashing it? Just by their name? Or
they're greenwashing it by saying that they're going to use the energy from the burning as part of the energy mix for Victoria. Now, interestingly, the state of Victoria, where we are speaking, still defines rubbish incineration as part of the circular economy. and a renewable resource.
Okay.
Whereas the federal government, so federal Labor, has said, no, it's linear economy.
How can it be seen as circular? It's going straight up into the sky. What?
You buy a plastic bottle of water, you drink the water, you throw away the bottle, it gets burnt, then you buy another one the next day.
And
so it is linear.
Totally linear. Totally.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Tell me, so you've got this campaign, and what's the state of play with your campaign at the moment?
The state of play with our campaign is very confusing. We find it hard to hear much from the decision makers. We do know that it's urgent to get the planning objections in by the 9th of September, but that's, yeah, so that won't be relevant for your thing. But we just keep raising it. At the moment, we have support from at least the Mayor of Whittlesea and some of the council. We've had the local state MPs, Bronwyn Halfpenny, has sponsored our parliamentary petition. Lily D'Ambrosio is saying, I'm listening to my constituents and they don't want it.
Uh-huh.
So Lily is the Minister for Climate Action.
Mm-hmm.
And also at our meeting last Sunday, we had Andrew Giles, who's the federal member, and he was actually quite critical of these supposed waste-to-energy mm-hmm. plants. So the waste-to-energy is the greenwash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, tell us finally, what's your interest in food waste? What have you got to tell us?
It's not so much food waste. I'm really interested in eating healthy food and trusting in the food. Now, the burning of normal old household waste, some plastic and some chlorine, in these incinerators makes these chemicals called dioxins.
Uh-huh.
Dioxins are forever chemicals which accumulate in the soil. To the extent that in the state around Paris, France, the government has told people to not eat the eggs from their backyard chickens because they contain dioxins. So these are horrible chemicals in small amounts, but they're necessarily made by the burning of plastic.
Right.
So productive land in the area around where these incinerators are going in the long term, so this is what I'm going to say about science. You don't have to do it again. You don't have to put an incinerator in and then measure the dioxin.
And then figure it out all over again.
No, you don't. So, you know, science is, it's been measured properly. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Make this decision with your eyes open. And just quickly, there's not just Wollert. So we're just seeing some people connect together from the southeastern part of Melbourne down Frankston. There's one planned for there. And Charles is here from the defending his land at Lara near Geelong against incinerators.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Marion. Good luck with the campaign. And that's a very compelling reason for me, the dioxins in the soil.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to hear from Rodney, who is part of the same campaign.
And where have you come from today, Rodney?
Wollert.
Wollert.
Yep, and they're planning to build a giant garbage incinerator in my street.
Oh, in your street. So what impact will that have on you?
Well, there's the pollution from the exhaust and all the toxins and stuff that come out of that chimney. But for me, probably more so would be the amount of trucks that are going to be going past my house.
Another issue.
800 a day. And they're going to be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So how do you sleep with that going on?
And you've got chickens too.
Yeah.
Marion, we just interviewed Marion and she said, she pointed out that in Paris, around Paris, people are being advised not to eat the eggs from their own chickens.
Yeah, I am worried about that, and I have got chickens. And I'm a beekeeper.
Uh-huh.
And the bees travel 5 kilometres. They're going to be going around that incinerator collecting pollen from the flowers.
Mm.
And no one's going to want my honey.
Okay.
I won't be able to even give it away. And it's beautiful, the honey, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I came today to, you know, try and make people aware, because a lot of people in the area don't know about it, because even myself, I googled my street and that's how I found out. Apparently Cleanaway said that they notified everyone. Well, I live next door and they didn't tell me. Very upset about that.
Right. What would you like to happen with this campaign?
Well, at first I thought I didn't want it near my house, which probably everyone would say. But since I've found out what they are, what they do, it's a disgrace. They should just cancel it all. I can't believe they even think about burning rubbish. My dad had an incinerator in his backyard and he used to light it up and smoke would go all over the neighbourhood. No one wants that. No one liked it and they put a stop to it. So why would they bring it back now?
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
Thanks very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Okay. Hi Vaughan. Nice to see you here at this Zero Waste Festival. Tell me what you're doing here today.
Hi, so I'm here as part of the Purpose Precinct. So we have some shops at the Queen Victoria Market and we sell social enterprises and their products from Victoria, but we have a really big focus on circular principles and we've got a really awesome program called the Moving Feast Kitchen that we run out of one of our shops there. So we're taking food waste from the Queen Victoria Market, unsold produce, and turning it into shelf-stable products that will last a lifetime and are very delicious. And we also do a bunch of classes that you can come and do on how you can reduce waste in your own kitchen and make some really yummy stuff while you do it. So we're just here today educating people about those opportunities, encouraging people to come visit us, and we've also got a selection of some of our products that follow circular and zero waste principles.
Fantastic. And how can people find the Purpose Precinct?
So we have a website, which is purposeprecinct.org, and Instagram, which is just Purpose Precinct, or you can come down to the Queen Victoria Market in the F Sheds and say hi. We're there every day the market's open.
Thank you so much, Vaughan. Thanks very much for talking to us.
That's okay. Thank you.
I'm here at the Zero Waste Festival today with Manaka and tell us why you're here.
Hi, I'm from Sister Works, which is a not-for-profit social enterprise that supports migrants, refugees and asylum-seeking women to be economically empowered. We are here today to showcase our upcycling work that we do. So we work with the people like Richmond Football Club, and we do upcycling of coffee bags to promote less waste. We are trying to encourage the big organisation to reduce waste by making it into something else, so they don't end up in the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And so what sort of things are you selling at your store?
At the moment we're selling scrunchies made out of a scarf for Richmond, dog jumper, they're good for chihuahuas and little puppies. We are also making coffee bag tote bags as well. Yeah. And we also have a Sister Works label product such as bread bags. We encourage people to take it to bakeries, for example, and they're made out of donated cottons
as
well.
Okay. Sister Works, and where are you based?
We are based in, our manufacturing hub is in Springvale, but we have our cafe and catering business in Carlton North. And we have our training facility, because Sister Works is also a training facility as well. We have it in Abbotsford and Dandenong.
And how did you get involved?
I became involved with Sister Works about almost 7 years ago as a volunteer. And now I am a production manager. And today I'm volunteering.
Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm at the Zero Waste Festival talking to stallholders mainly about the contribution they're making to reducing waste in Victoria and often in relation to food waste and food packaging, and also about their campaigns against unsustainable ways of dealing with waste.
I'm here today at the Zero Waste Festival with Mitch Scooter.
That's correct.
And what's brought you here today, Mitch?
What's brought us here today? I own a business called Gardening on Country. We manufacture garden hand tools made from 100% recycled plastic bottle caps. So we wanted to come along and join all the other great stalls that are here that are doing really good things to reduce waste, to create amazing products, sustainable products, And it's a really important space that we all need to really focus on.
And are you involved in actually processing the bottle tops, or how does it work?
Well, at this stage, we source our lids from Lids for Kids.
Okay.
And they're a charity organisation based in Canberra, and they get donations of lids. They sort them, shred them up, and then we get them from them. But I do all the manufacturing at home in Bairnsdale. So in my little shed at home, I sort all the colours and we make our different mixes and we make our garden tools.
Wow, you make mixes and then they go into moulds? So you melt them down and put them into moulds?
Correct, yeah. So I've got an extruder. We feed the hopper full of the shredded up plastic and then that heats it up and it pushes it into our garden tool moulds.
Lovely. And how can people find out more about this?
You can find us on our socials, so Gardening on Country, or our website at gardeningoncountry.com.au.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
No worries, thank you.
I'm here at the Zero Waste Festival in Federation Square with Sam, who I just saw at the Friends of the Earth stall. What's brought you here today, Sam?
We're here today with the Reuse Revolution Collective from Friends of the Earth and also the Great Food Co-op that we have at 312 Smith Street, Collingwood. So we're pretty close to 3CR. And we're here today to talk about our new campaign for more reuse and less waste.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that fantastic eatery down there at Friends of the Earth.
So we've got a great co-op. I think it's been going for over 40 years, serving lovely vegan meals every day, and also with a zero waste supermarket where you can, or co-op, where you can bring your jars and fill up from cleaning products. I get my cleaning products there. Muesli, grains, a whole bunch of food. Bring your jar, fill it up, take it home, wash it, reuse it, bring it back, and so you really have the zero waste. So you can cut that single-use packaging out of the environment and really live our values.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of interest are you getting at the stall today?
Yeah, people are super interested. It seems like I've never been. I didn't even know the festival existed, so this is our first time here. And yeah, people seem really interested in both the food co-op in terms of the zero waste shopping that you can do there, but also the broader political campaigning that we do at Friends of the Earth. While it's important to take personal action, we also need political action to achieve change. In Victoria, it's too hard for most people to even choose reuse. Like, everything you want to buy comes in packaging, and so that's why we need to change the systems and get reuse targets in different sectors and for different packaging.
Tell me what your campaign looks like at the political level, this recent one.
Well, it's really recently started, volunteer-run campaign, and I'd really encourage anyone who wants to, any of your listeners who wants to join. At Friends of the Earth, we have a volunteer-led collective campaign model where we're starting off ourselves. And what we want to do, the concept is to expand on the container deposit system. So we've got the container deposit system. That was a long, hard-fought campaign by Boomerang Alliance, lots of environment groups.
This is a state government
initiative. So that's where you can take your containers back and get 10 cents for it. And it really helps with the recycling rate, helps with getting waste out of the environment and the recycling being cleaner. But it doesn't reduce the plastic production. And what we want to really move for, what, you know, we want to, while recycling has a place, it's not the solution. We really need to reduce and reuse. And so we can model it on other systems that are around the world. If you look at Germany, lots of the beer bottles there are reuse and refill. If you look at Brazil, some 30% of different companies' soft drinks are reuse and refill. Korea, the kind of soju bottles are all reuse refill. So yeah, there's really powerful examples around the world of reuse systems working. We've already got the container deposit system, which gives you the 10 cents back. So we've kind of got people thinking about how you can return things, how you can get the money back. But we need to inbuilt reuse in that. Recycling's not by itself is not the solution. We need to have reuse.
Mm-hmm. So at the source.
Yeah. And so we could start to see, hopefully, some pilots. We're wanting to, in the next Victorian budget, see funding put aside for a pilot in either with certain companies or certain sectors. And we're kind of thinking up the campaign at the moment whether we should be broader or focus more on specific things. We know that in Australia, people especially older Australians, can remember when all the milk used to be glass recycling, glass reuse. And so we might focus on that to kind of that nostalgia slash going back, going forward sort of thing. Like, it can be done. It was done. used to be done. And we need to, we need to learn from the past, but also learn from other countries of how to do things better.
Mm-hmm. And strategically just choose one common product to gather all everybody's thoughts around.
If you've got ideas about it, we're really open to what's the best strategy, and we try and come up with it together. So feel free to your listeners to get involved. And that's what we're kind of debating now ourselves. Are we better to focus on one or two, or try and go bigger?
Is there a survey that you've got on the website?
No, we should start. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Have you got an ideas area?
We don't at the moment. We're trying. I mean, our Reuse Revolution Collective is really in the early stages. The food co-op's been going for 30 years, so we're building on something. And we've also been collaborating. One of our Friends of the Earth comrades used to do a thing called a Reusable Nation, which has quite a really good resource out there and Instagram account, so we're looking at collaborating a lot with them. So we're kind of coming from somewhere, still in the early days. But we're hopeful, over the next 3 years we can get some change, at least a pilot, and hopefully build on some of the previous victories in the space.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Sam.
My pleasure.
I'm here at the Zero Waste Festival with Jill. And Jill, tell us what you're here for today.
Hi, Anne. I'm part of Beach Patrol Australia, which is a rubbish pickup group. We have about 30 groups around Port Phillip Bay and one in Warrnambool as an ocean group. And we also have 18 inland groups called Love Our Street. We're trying to encourage the public to get involved in picking up litter in their local area. And with that, we not only appreciate the cleaner public spaces that all of us get to enjoy, but we also gather our data on what types of litter we're collecting, where we're collecting it with our Litter Stopper app. We log that. That data goes up to the Victorian Government Litter Watch database as well, so the government has access to our information. And then also with our data, we are advocating for change to reduce single-use plastics and things that become fugitive in the environment. Our goal, of course, is to stop plastic rubbish getting into our waterways and into the ocean, or to be fugitive in bushland, and therefore protecting our wildlife and humans when plastic breaks up into microplastics.
Well said. Okay. Any other comments?
I guess we would really encourage people to look after their local area, which is why I started the inland groups Love Our Street. Love your own environment and look after it, and then we can all enjoy it. If people are interested in joining a group, you can look at the Beach Patrol website, and there's a join button where you can communicate where you are and what groups you would like to join. Or if you would like to be a leader and start a new group in your area, please get in touch.
And how many people do you think are involved in this?
We've got about somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 registered members. Now, not everyone can turn up all the time, but our model is turn up whenever you can and do what you can.
Excellent. And know that the information is going to the state government to do with it what they will.
Yeah, and ask your local member what's happening with that data.
Yes, yeah. And have you got any word back on what is happening with the data?
Or? Look, I guess the big win for us was 3 years ago when Victoria finally introduced the container deposit scheme on the 10 cent drink containers. Our current campaign is to get bottle tops tethered to the bottles so that they're not individual fugitive items. That's been introduced in Europe and the Philippines, possibly even some very small Pacific nations. Why can we not have them here to stop them floating away down the stormwater drain and into our ocean?
So those lids are a bigger problem than the the other plastics, or the different problems?
They're a very hard form of plastic, so they remain in the environment for a very long time. If they end up on the beaches, then the mechanical beach cleaning machines can chip them up into smaller and smaller and smaller microplastics. So they are a big problem, but they are certainly a very visible problem, and it's something that's so easy to deal with. Let's do some of these easy measures to make a difference.
Thank you so much, Jill.
My pleasure, Anne.
That's all we've got time for today. My name is Anne Stanley, and you heard from some of the stallholders at the Zero Waste Festival in Melbourne. And before I go, I just want to remind you of the Greenwood Farm at Bundoora Secondary College. They're having an open day on Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of October. They would love people to come along and see what's going on there. They've got animals, they've got goats, I believe. You can look at the different horticultural methods they're using, see what's possible in a school. They've got a new barn, they've got education rooms, they've got a market garden, they've got chooks. I think they've even got a little shop set up to sell produce to the local community. So you might have heard the episode about the farm. So this is all going on in a school, and it's a collaboration between Bundoora Secondary College, Local Food Connect, and the Banyule City Council, and it's using state government funding. So it's a really, really interesting model, worth taking, listening to the episode, but also getting out there and taking a look at what's going on. And that's Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of October 2025. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. You are what you eat, and you are
what you eat. Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio, and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities. Goes from dust to dust. You gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came. Want to know what happened at the 2024 People's Blockade of the World's Largest Coal Port?
Come along to a special 3CR screening of Turning the Ship, the short film that explains all, and be inspired to join the blockade this year.
Revisit the epic event and hear how this incredible people-powered protestival came together.
Join us on Friday, 19th September at Evil Thoughts in East Brunswick.
Head to Rising Tide Victoria Insta or Facebook page to RSVP and to get all the details.
Rising Tide Victoria is a 3CR supporter. Yeah, even Arnie in the 90s had a car that ran
electric. They held back the tech. Shit. Now it's gotten hectic. They can't. Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
Got a big crop of tomatoes or plums in the garden this summer? Look after our precious wildlife and avoid using netting over your veggies and fruit trees. Nets can accidentally trap flying foxes, possums, and birds. Many of them don't survive their injuries. If you must use netting, make it safe for wildlife. For more information, go to wildlifevictoria.org.au or call 03 8400 7300 if you see wildlife trapped in netting. Wildlife Victoria is a 3CR supporter.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.